Welcome, everybody, from all around the world. Welcome to this podcast, Escaping the Entanglements of Our Lives. You got yours, and I've got mine. I'm your host, I'm Dolphus Q, the originator and the creator of this podcast. Now, our lives, yours and mine, are easily entangled with things, both real and imaginary. And these things get entangled in our minds. Once we escape the womb, our entrance into this world from the womb is into a world of potential entanglements. Some of these entanglements are unnecessary. I mean, it's necessary. Dare I say a mother's love is necessary? I've said it, and I will stand by it. That's one of the entanglements. But not all entanglements are benign. Some are malignant. And it's those entanglements that tend to lead us astray. But I'm not here to judge. I'm only here to read and write my book before your very ears. That's my way of escaping one of the major entanglements of my life. But I believe escaping is as simple as doing like the Buddha and sitting under a yum-yum tree. Take some time for yourself, because I surely take time for me. But now, as the walrus said, the time has come. Yes, my friends, all around the world, the time has come for the reading of the Word. Episode 21, Chapter 21, An Uncomfortable Sleep as Freedom Draws Near. If the train made stops, I slept comfortably through each one of them. When I woke up in the dark, smelly boxcar, I slowly found my way to the door and widened a crack enough to stand in the passage. Shafts of sunlight illuminated some of the boxcar's interior. Son Bolo lay curled in a corner under his gear. I gazed at the terrain as it flew past my eyes as I sought to figure out our location on the map of the United States. I knew from my memory of that map that New Mexico bordered both Texas and Arizona. I figured we had to be in one state or the other. The terrain looked dusty, dry, and desolate. A horizon of ragged mountain ranges with sparse vegetation. The ground looked as if it begged for water. I saw networks of cracks and dried mud flats. The train reached a bend which allowed me to look back at the tail end of the train. It looked at least a half mile long. After the train cleared the bend, it began to run parallel with I-10. I became watchful and soon saw what I sought, a sign, a huge billboard that advertised something miles ahead as the best in New Mexico. Initially, I thought, this is New Mexico. Sure isn't much to see. It looked like a vast, barren wasteland of shifting sands and naked mountaintops, tumbleweeds, cactus plants, and scattered adobe dwellings. But as the train continued and I gazed deeper, I saw serenity, a certain beauty, a perfect retreat in which to pray and meditate. Sanbolo woke up groggy, opening and closing his eyes. He wanted to know where we were. Somewhere in New Mexico, I said, smiling to myself. Sanbolo sat up and made his way to the door. His eyes squinted at the scenery as it sped past. Yep, we're in New Mexico, all right. Then he looked at me and smiled like a fox. Joe, you must have seen a sign or something back there. I started to lie, but told him about the billboard I saw. Well, one thing is sure, we'll be in Arizona soon. How much water you got left? I looked through my gear and found the water Sanbolo had taken from the unit. I got these. I held a 6-pack of 8-ounce bottles. You reckon there'll be enough? Sanbolo said if we sipped on the water and limited the times we sipped, and as long as the hot shot maintained its speed, in theory, we should reach the yard in Arizona before we succumb to the desert heat. But in fact, the desert heat intensified like it sought to force us to succumb. The heat grew hotter as the sun rose higher in a clear, blue, cloudless sky. I felt like I sat inside a sauna, but instead of drips of sweat, my skin was as dry as a fistful of hot desert sand. I began to thirst for a full swallow of water. My lips were cracked and dry. I opened my bottle of water. I took a gulp. The water was warm, but still rejuvenated the inside of my mouth. Sanbolo warned me to sip and not take such a big gulp of water. I thought I followed that rigid path and sipped occasionally from the bottle to rejuvenate the inside of my mouth to outwit my outright thirst for a gulp of water. But before the sun reached its zenith, the bottle was as empty of water as a well that had ran dry. I commented to Sanbolo about the heat and compared it to hell. Sanbolo took a sip of water. If you call this hell, said Sanbolo, wait until we reach Death Valley. This is nothing compared to that valley of scorching heat and burning sands we must cross before we reach California. But can we stop and get some water first? I asked, delirious from the heat. Sanbolo assured me he wouldn't attempt to cross that valley, even on a freight train, without water. He told me stories of hobos who tried and who were pulled from the train dead from dehydration. Dehydration. That word stayed in my ears like a sustained chord. Dehydration. Instantly, I began to thirst. I needed some water. I felt without a swallow. I would die of thirst. I reached for my second bottle of water. Son Bolo stopped me. No, Joe, stop. Hold. Just hold on. I can't. I can't. I cried with the bottle in my hand, ready to uncap. You can make it. Use your mind. Don't think about water, said Son Bolo. Think about something else. Something else, I paused and considered. You mean like reaching California? No, like crossing over into the promised land, I laughed. Son Bolo laughed too. But commented, crossing over into the promised land sounds so biblical, Joe, like you're headed to heaven. I would rather die in the promised land than of dehydration on this freight train. Son Bolo chuckled. His eyes looked beyond me. He began to clap time with his hands and sing. This train don't carry no gamblers. This train don't carry no low liars. His odd bit of levity inspired me to participate. I joined in and clapped my hands. Then soon I made up verses such as, this train carries tramps and hobos. We continued to sing and make up new verses in this vein until Son Bolo noticed a change in the terrain. Wait, I think we're close to something, he said. I took a look around. What? Water. Keep your eyes open. We stopped our songs and became watchful. The train took a curve in the track, and I-10 came back into view. I began to see signs of civilization. I thought only of water. I was ready to hop off the train. Not yet, said Son Bolo. This must be Tucson, and this train is headed to the yard. Get your gear together. I don't know where the strength came from, but I managed to gather my gear ahead of Son Bolo. The train reduced its speed, slow enough for us to get off and back on without missing a beat as it entered the yard. I was ready to get off, but Son Bolo held me in check. He knew the exact spot to get off. Now, the spot was not visible immediately. It was shaded by trees and reachable by a winding footpath that led down to a gully, then up to a clearing with a clear view of the yard. I saw a congregation of men who looked like the imagined tramps and hobos would look. The group lounged around lazily at what remained of a campfire. They sat on blankets, sleeping bags, and overturned 5-gallon buckets. The men had seen us exit the boxcar and had watched us as we progressed to where they congregated. You think they'll give us water? I asked as we drew near to them. And food, too, answered Son Bolo. These are railroad tramps. They aren't like city tramps. They will share what they have if they got it. We are home free now. No more worries, man. Relax. When we were within eye contact of the congregation, one of the tramps recognized Son Bolo. He rose from his bucket filled with laughter. Well, I'd be doggone. Son Bolo, man, the last time I saw you, you and a white boy rode together. Son Bolo grinned back. Oh, yeah, that's right, man. We had some fun, didn't we? Yeah, we sure did. But this time, I'm headed east, the man said. I'm headed to L.A., said Son Bolo. I'm teaching this greenhorn about riding freight trains. You got any water? We got plenty of that, the man said, and extracted a six-pack of water from his knapsack. I saw right away that it had come from a eunuch. Sanbolo took the six-pack and divided it with me. I literally tore off the top with my teeth and drained the bottle dry before I took the bottle from my lips. I started for the second bottle and became aware of the eyes of the congregation upon me. "He go after that water like it's fortified with wine," laughed one of the tramps. Sanbolo explained how we had left El Paso with only a six-pack of water between us. Most of the men shook their heads in disbelief. I don't believe that one. But one of the men nodded with wisdom. "That's because they're young. If they were as old as most of us, I doubt they could have rode from El Paso to here with six bottles of water between them." We were given more water and something to eat. We were offered a cigarette and a shot of wine. I turned down everything except food and water. The tramp who knew Sanbolo told him he was headed to El Paso to pick up some food stamps, and after that, he would head back to L.A. to pick up a check. Sanbolo said he intended to catch out on the first train headed towards L.A. "Well, from here to L.A., be watchful," the tramp warned. "The border patrol is hot. Lately, they have thrown hobos off right and left." "I know that's right," interjected the tramp. "They threw me off. They could see I ain't no Mexican." "I say something big is behind the recent actions of the Border Patrol." "If I can make it to Colton," said Sanbolo, "I can make it to where I want to go." "That's the problem," laughed one of the tramps, "making it to Colton. I don't know what has jumped off, but lately the Border Patrol is hotter than an AK-47 on the front line. I made the mistake of getting off in Yuma. It took me 2 weeks to catch out." Sanbolo smiled at him and shook his head in disbelief. 2 weeks to catch out? Had all the trains stopped running? "Or you just couldn't figure out what to do, old man." The old tramp paused and looked surprised by the comment, as did the entire congregation. I saw cheerless expressions on most of the faces, especially the old tramp's face. Couldn't figure out what to do. "Son, I have rode freight trains longer than you have been alive. I know things change, and I don't doubt you know something. But I know you don't know it all. How many years have you rode on freight trains? And in all those years, what fundamental things have you seen change?" "I know none. Because the fundamental things about freight trains still apply." Sanbolo only offered a tight-lipped smile. And another topic took over the conversation. And soon a bottle of wine began to circulate. Sanbolo inquired about the next train out. "East or west?" asked the old tramp. "West, to L.A. "Look over in the yard," said the old tramp. "See all that activity?" I looked over into the yard. I saw units pushed and pulled lines of boxcars. "They are making up a westbound train now," said the old tramp. "I don't know how soon she'll pull out, but from the number of units I see, this train is going to be a hot shot straight across Death Valley. You cash out on this train. Don't get off when it slows down for a crew change in Yuma. In the morning, you will be in California. Maybe not exactly where you want to be, but a whole lot closer than you are right now. It'll be a night train, too, interjected another tramp with a smile and a nod. The Border Patrol tend not to bother with night trains, especially with hot shots. Well, if you plan to ride, take plenty of water, said someone from the congregation. The train pulled out late that afternoon. Son Bolo and I had 4 gallons of water. We rode in a rail car that was called a 48. The rail car was really a flat car with a recessed bottom. It was designed to carry stacked steel containers 48 feet long. The stacked containers were centered in the recess, which left about 6 feet of empty space behind each container. We climbed up and then down into the recess. No one could see us unless we stood up. Son Bolo unrolled his gear and made a soft pallet on the steel floor of the rail car. "This time tomorrow," he said, "if all goes well, we'll be in California." My mind shifted into a high gear of expectations. I fought to contain them. "Yep," I said like a cowboy who didn't say much. "I reckon my next step is up and back in the saddle and on the right road to success." "That ain't hard to do in California," said Son Bolo. "And if you use your head, you can stay up in the saddle instead of down on your feet, crawling." I told him I planned to do just that. He asked me how. I couldn't think of a definite plan. After groping at nothing, I said something about a start, food stamps, and the general relief check. "Food stamps and a welfare check. Joe, you sound like a city tramp," Son Bolo said with disgust. "Food stamps and a welfare check won't keep you up on your feet in L.A. You're going to need a better plan than that, or else you will become just another city tramp on the streets waiting on the first of the month." I didn't say anything, but I thought about the essence of his words. I had seen evidence of his sentiments on the streets of Miami, especially on the first of the month. Yes, I would be free and my system clean of cocaine. But as to a plan, like a tangible blueprint, I had nothing on the table. I thought, as the train sped westward, was I really headed backwards to the same lifestyle I sought to escape on the streets of Miami? Thoughts such as those flooded my mind until I drifted off to an uncomfortable sleep. And thus, we have reached the end of another episode of Escaping the Entanglements of Our Lives. I invite you to join us next time, people all around the world. Until then, this is Dolphus Q saying so long, everybody.